interviewing Ed Caldwell on the 5th of December in the year 2000, and this is a continuation of the previous tape from this same date.
Ed, you were just talking about the sousaphone player and the tuba player and the encouragement that was given to both of these people by their peers. And are you saying that that was something that was the essence of Lincoln High School, this kind of encouragement from peers and teachers, or have I misinterpreted?
No, I think that you hit it right on the head. I think if you look at how teachers really, I mean, you could look at their eyes, man, and you could tell that they had very high expectations for you. We had high expectations for each other, okay? One of the things that I'd like you to do, if you're here during the summer, is to come back to our reunion and just see the camaraderie, you know, and the deep feeling that these our schoolmates have for each other. I think that the community also supported us, okay? I think you'd have to look at a person like Mr. Morris Mason, and I've said this on one other occasion. Mr. Morris Mason was the trainer for Carolina Tar Heel football team. Mr. Morris Mason gave us uniforms, man, you know.
The high school, Lincoln High School?
Yeah. I mean, he was, when we went to play some teams, man, we were blue and white. Because we were playing in Tar Heel uniforms. The only thing we had to do is get it back to him, man, so he could get it back on Monday morning, you know. But it's people like that. Mr. Morris Mason was a Mason, you know. So you had people in the community encouraging you to be members of fraternal organizations and so forth. It was an umbrella that they threw over us, man. High expectations. I played semi-pro baseball, okay? I played with the men. You know, we had a team called Chapel Hill Duns, okay? And they went into the high schools and took some of the better athletes, and we played with men. These men taught me a lot, how to hit, how to pitch, how to catch, you know. They were mentors, just like we did with some of the other classmates and so forth that didn't play very well, okay? And I was taught a lot. I was probably one of the best hitters on the team, you know, that they taught me. They had very high expectations, you know. Come on in, you can do it, man. And not only did I do very well playing semi-pro, you know, on this team, but was chosen as to play on a all-star team. In those days, there were teams after the major leagues shut down where players that played with the Brooklyn Dodgers and other teams, man, would do what they call barnstorming. They would travel the South, man, and play against all-star teams. And I got to play against Don Newcomb, okay? Don Newcomb good. Don Newcomb threw that ball, man. He was good. You know, and I've never seen, of all the time that I played, anybody could pitch that fast, man. His fastball would be just hopping and coming down. Well, I was small, and Don Newcomb, you know, eased up on me one time, threw me a changeup, and I knocked it foul, almost out of the fence. Well, I didn't see nothing like that again. He struck me out. But, you know, that was great experience. It was great experience to play against other, you know, this other black major league ball players and whatever. We had our own leagues and so forth.
Well, is this still a black league? Is that any pro
yes,
black league?
Yes. I think that's a loss because we don't play baseball anymore. And we don't get a chance to play with adults, you know, that take us under their wing, man, and train us. Have high expectations, not only for playing baseball, but for behavior, okay? Work situations, they did the same thing. You know, we worked with men and so forth, and they had high expectations. They trained us, you know, they told us about life and whatever. So, you know, we sort of missed that school. We missed the organizations and so forth, like the Masons and the Oddfellows and the Elks and so forth that encouraged us. I don't think churches encourage kids the way they used to. You know, church was another source, you know, where we stood up and we recited and we had people, man, encouraging parliamentary procedure and that sort of thing, leadership skills. But I think that the majority was expected from the school. I always said that parents turned over a certain amount of parental responsibility to teachers and schools, man, to train. I remember the first day I went to school, my father said to the teachers and the administration, "Here's my son. You do whatever it takes to teach him to learn, okay? If he gives you any trouble, you know what to do. You have spanking privileges. You send a note home, I'll take care of it home too." And so when we acted out, we told the teachers after they whooped us, man, don't send a note. No use me getting a second whooping, man, you know. And parents turned over a certain amount of responsibility for parenting to the schools. That was one of the reasons that they had so much trouble when they integrated, okay? Black kids were seeing, man, that white kids were being treated different, you know, and so therefore it was just a different school setting, you know, that they weren't used to. Black schools were very strict, high expectations, very strict. You adhered to the rules and regulations, you didn't tear up things. Took care of what you had because it came so hard. I think that the other school, there was a certain amount of looseness, okay? And black kids just didn't perform as well. I think this was difficult. We didn't survive in that kind of atmosphere very well. We expected teachers, man, to be parents, and they weren't. So we lost a lot with integration. We lost that teacher, man, telling you can do it, okay? We lost our black teachers, okay? Black teachers were role models, okay? If you were having problems at home, you know, you could always go and talk to your coach or you could talk to a teacher, you know, and they were there for you, okay? You'd be surprised of how many teachers spent their own money helping students, man, you know, if they had financial needs. So those kids didn't have that when it was integrated, you know? So we lost a lot, you know.
I'm interested in the corporal punishment. I didn't realize that took place.
Sure, it took place.
Till what grade and till what year?
As long as you in elementary school, you got, you know, you got spanked. Okay, if you got sent to the principal's office, you got spanked. Once you made high school, then you got to work. Okay, in the school, doing some chore or whatever. I remember we broke into school to play basketball because we didn't have nowhere else to play. So we broke in over here, and somebody said, "Hey, here comes MacDougall," when he wasn't coming. You know how kids hollify. And kids were trying to jump out the window, and they broke one of the sinks down because they were standing on it trying to jump out. Well, we got caught. I don't know who told it. Okay. All the fellows that were from high school got to shovel coal. Okay. All the kids, man, that were younger, you know, we got to go to the principal's office and get so many licks in the hand. He had a barber's razor strap, which was leather, you know. And you get hit in the hand with one of those things. He didn't give you pretend, man, but you couldn't take it, you know. But it was sort of a status thing to be able to be outside of class and had to go to class, and all the girls saw you out shoveling coal, and, you know, you waving back in the window and so forth. So, yeah, you got punished, corporal punishment, until the ninth grade. And when they integrated, I think they began to cut that out. There were a lot of people felt that it was abusive and probably hurt the kids' self-esteem and all that. Didn't hurt our self-esteem, you know, helped us understand about rules and regulations. We knew if you broke the rules, man, you know, you had to take the punishment. So it's just a matter of how you looked at it.
I'm also interested in what happened to the role of the mentor, the friend, the teacher who helped the black students get a scholarship to go on to college to get more education. What happened in the integrated high school to the black students and the advocate? Who was their advocate?
Well, I don't think you had many advocates because we didn't have that many black teachers left. You know, teachers were systematically eliminated for one reason or another. You didn't have anybody really being an advocate for those kids. I think the schools, after it was integrated, it got to be large, and it was the responsibility of the guidance counselors to find scholarships and so forth for kids. those guidance counselors were overworked, mainly because the white community wanted them to help their kids, man, get in, take the SATs and get into some of the better schools. We had nobody really working with black kids. Just sheer fact that there were not enough guidance counselors. Now, let me be fair. There were some black guidance counselors, man, that did help black kids. They also had peers and so forth in colleges. But when you begin to think maybe one or two guidance counselors, man, with the over number of other kids, they were just did not have the time. That got to be a big thing among school boards and whatever, of saying, who's helping the black kids? You know, you're spending all your time with the white parents, man. They give you all these transcripts and so forth, and you need to send it all for their kids. Just want enough time, okay? If they chose to spend a lot of time, man, helping black, then the white parents complained that these guidance counselors were not giving their kids the kind of consideration that they should get so that they could get in some of the better schools. So you didn't have very many people, you know. Number one, the fact that we didn't have many black teachers. That system was dismantled to a certain extent, and it was turned over to guidance counselors that may not know about athletic scholarships. They were hired, man, mostly for academic processing of transcripts and so forth. So we lost out. We didn't have that.
Where did the complaints from the white parents go? Did they go to the school board? Did they go to the principal of the school?
Went to the principal of the school and also went to the school board. You'd be surprised how many white parents complain about teachers, almost to the extent, man, that the teacher was paralyzed. Parents in this community, man, are just tenacious when they want something for their kid, okay? They come to the school board, okay? They will take on the school board. They will take on parents. So for a long time, parents did not have the respect of being a professional in this community. This is a hard community in which to teach, you know, by the fact of so many articulate and strong parents. Now, you got to understand that the majority of parents coming to the school were women of professors. No degrees, no nothing, but experts on everything, okay? And they'll tell you, well, what are your credentials? Well, my husband teach, he's professor such and such, okay? And he said, okay? Kids say, my father would said, and if a teacher taught something and the kid went back and talked to his parent, you know, his parent said, well, you go back and tell that teacher she's wrong. And he would do it in front of the class, you know? Awfully hard community in which to teach, okay? So we didn't keep a lot of good teachers here, you know? I mean, why I'm teaching this community, man, when I go to Durham or somewhere else, man, get more respect, okay? So you'd be surprised how influential some of these parents were on designing the curriculum, having it say so with the school board, with things that would come. You know, and they were tenacious, man, making sure that whatever was put into effect, man, was to the best interest of their kids. One of the things that I spent the whole time on the school board was to prevent them from tracking, okay? Tracking is nothing more than pushing black kids into a lower level class, you know, and track them through schools on a lower academic, and tracking their kids, man, to foreign languages and highly academic coursework, you know, college level. And a lot of them, man, took courses at the university. Very few track their kids, man, into the vocational education. We got one of the finest vocational education fields and coursework out anywhere, okay? And parents made sure that their kids didn't go into vocational education, okay? Just the fact that we had Max Scroggs teaching auto mechanics. Some went against their parents, man, and took auto mechanics. You know, just that kind of dual system that we operated, okay? School board members weren't willing to stand up to parents, okay? One of the things that you'll find now is the elitist kids, man, got cars, and everyone take off at lunchtime and go downtown and eat. Whereas the kids that doesn't have very much, man, have to remain on campus and eat in the lunchroom. Okay? Big problem. Okay? Not only with kids getting killed down that road, driving fast and that sort of thing. But you know, that made the have-nots dislike the haves, okay? And it didn't have to be just white, I mean black. It could be black and white, you know, that resented. That's the socioeconomics that came out, okay? In this school, we just have some affluence among some of these kids. And they arrogant, snotty, no, whatever, man. And they let people know that they came from affluence, okay? And they get their tail whooped a lot, okay? Okay? That probably never, you know, people resent those kids. So we run a dual school system within a system, you know. How do you change that? I don't know, you know. So, you know, that's one of the kinds of things. I think teachers and so forth choose up to decide, well, who are they going to spend their time with? You find a lot of the white teachers and so forth says, hey, you white kids going to make it anyway. I'm going to spend my time trying to bring these black kids along and encourage them. You find an awful lot of that. Parents come and complain. Okay? And these teachers tell them, go to hell. I'm doing what I need to do. Okay? I don't come and tell you how to run your job. I'm going to run my job. And so those parents go to the superintendent. They go to the school board members. Okay? And one of the most difficult times that I had was looking and protecting teachers. I felt that was my job, okay? I mean, you know, teachers need to have some independence, man, to be able to do what they need to do. And I let them know that I was gonna protect them. That's why teachers came to me when I went to lunch, because they knew that I was in their corner, okay? And when their names came up, where we looked at teacher recommendations, you know, and teacher's excellent for so many years, and then all of a sudden, man, she's a problem teacher, you know. And I tell my peers, bullshit, you're not gonna do this, okay? And I had to threaten some of them, you know. You had to kick over a few tables, you knock stuff off and stuff, you know, you use what you have to use. Now, I told him, man, I'm getting the civil rights people in here. If you pull that kind of stuff, man, based on some parent's recommendation, I'm going to have the civil rights people in here tomorrow. Now, if y'all don't believe me, test me. Okay? Alice Bauer, who was a French teacher. Excellent teacher for all these years. You just go back and look at a record. And one year, because she supported Gigi Clemens, that had to do with something against the principal. And they want to find my cousin. Yeah? And I said, it never happened. Okay? My cousin been excellent French teacher for 10 years, and all of a sudden, one year, she's something wrong. Then if it's something wrong, we need to give her help. You're not going to fire. Okay? Now you go back and tell that principal, man, we're not going with his recommendation, because I happen to know why he's going up to my cousin. Okay. Now, R.D. Smith, the same man said that he wanted to get rid of R.D. Okay. And I said, hey, R.D. got a job for life. And I want y'all to understand that. He done put in his dues with Lincoln. Put in his dues, man, resolving potential racial problems, okay? R.D. gonna retire here. If he don't never do another thing, R.D. got a job for life. And I said, I want y'all to understand one thing. R.D. lived right across the street from my parents. Okay? R.D. was my teacher, man, and he helped me when I went to school. My kids play with R.D.'s kids every day. Now, I can't walk past R.D.'s house if I let y'all get away with this. Y'all not find R.D. R.D. got a job for life. I wouldn't care if he ain't never do nothing. Y'all find a job for him. Okay? And that's the kind of thing that I had to do with the school board. Okay? I had to keep up with what was going on against some of these very articulate as well as influential parents. And I took the parents on. I took them on. Okay? They made me chairman of the redistricting committee, where we were trying to balance the schools, you know, for racial balance and a lot of other criteria. Okay? We worked the criteria out before we applied it to the school. Okay? And we always had a vocal set of parents that didn't want their kids to move to a school. You know, they wanted to remain wherever. And I said, well, hell, we've been busing black kids, man, all along for racial balance. One kid live on one side of the street and another live on another, going to different schools. We have sacrificed so that we can keep these schools balanced. And you tell me you don't want your kids to go to Carrboro. Carrboro one of our better schools, because we put the resources in school, man, to make it good. But see, Carrboro had the stigma of being a mealtime school, okay? Chairman of the redistricting committee, hey, but you know, they got to some of my black members and people on there, and they could not stand that pressure. Okay? They made me chairman, so it got voted in. I went to everyone and said, hey, don't you ever do that again. Okay? Don't you ever let people influence you like that to make a decision, man, that's not in the best interest of children. Okay? And I said, if you do it again, I'm going to expose you in the community. You just did something, man, to me that's unpardonable. Okay? Well, it came up again. Those parents were just as articulate and whatever. But you know, I had control of that committee. I listened to them. I let them put their proposals up, you know. But their proposal was not as good because they gerrymandered things, man, and moving kids around, and it just did not fit the criteria. And I told the members, man, don't y'all give. Don't you give. You do what's right. Okay? And, you know, we voted it through. Went to the school board. They voted it through. Those parents got involved in those schools, man, that they thought were not good schools. And they came back later and said, you know, Ed, you know, Carrboro wasn't the better schools, man. It wasn't until I got involved that I know how good the school were. Had the best principal, best teachers, best facilities. Okay? But it's things like that. You just got to stand up. But you know, you don't have persons like me in all the schools, man, that's willing to stand up and challenge. You know?
Are you saying that parents tend to run the system?
Sure they do. Still run it. Yeah. They pick who's going to be on school board. Okay. And they are at every meeting. At every meeting. At every meeting. Okay. You know, you win them over, you be fair to them. I mean, they see you gonna be fair. They know where you come out, you know. But, you know, we can't have parents running the schools. But you know, they run them now, because they got a parent group, man, that look at everything that comes in and out of schools and make decisions about it. I forgot what kind of parent group that is, you know. And I said to the school board members, hey, if you're giving up your responsibility as school board members, you elected, okay? You elected by the public to do what's right, okay? Yeah, you can listen to that group, but you need to listen to all groups, okay? Not just to a special committee that oversees and make recommendations. Because, you know, they're making recommendations basically what's best for their kids. I had members that I knew from the tennis club. Oh man, I couldn't even get to the court sometimes, man. People stopping me. You know, Bob, I'm always late trying to get to the court, man, you know. And they stop me and want to discuss something that I had said, you know.